You notice that him at the start, he's wearing those yellow glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those.
Have you noticed, like, what benefit do they give you?
The glasses, with a cool. slight tint.
Yeah, but why would you want to...
You should get some, Jess.
It's like old, it's like you, if you turn 60, you get issued a pair of those.
Yeah, like the Stan Lee's.
I don't get it. Like, what advantage to, like, seeing everything in, like, slight tinge of yellow?
Maybe it's like
looks like the olden days.
So oh, okay.
It's very nostalgic. They're not blocking
everything was in sepia tone in the 20s.
They're not blocking any sun. It's just like being drunk all the time. Anyway.
You see yellow when you get drunk?
Yeah, don't you? Sometimes pink. It's all weird.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Dawson.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Oh, great, hot.
Hello, and welcome to the Incomplete series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. This is a podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of a TV series and just try and figure out what happened. My name's Morgan, and joining me to do this is the face man, Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. I'm flattered.
Oh, well,
I got a face.
Yeah. Okay.
Are we going to... I mean, it makes sense for us to all be...
in the A-team.
Ascribe roles.
I know, which is why I just jumped straight in. I didn't even give you any chance to negotiate any other role.
So that makes you... I'm guessing you're Hannibal.
I am Hannibal, yeah.
So...
We move around to Aaron.
Yes.
Clearly Baracus.
Sorry, B.A. Boughton.
I've gone the Mr. T shave.
Yes, I know.
Feeling jacked.
Looks great.
Gold chains and really giving me some serious neck pain.
I know, but you really sort of dropped the ball though. No overalls. So
yeah, sorry.
So you know, next time you can put in a little more effort. And the craziest member of our little cohort, the A team,
Howling Mad Burgess.
Howling Mad Burgess. I was just trying to remember what it was. How are you, HM?
Clinically insane. How you doing?
How's that ammonia going?
It's terrifying.
Yeah. Burning your feet off.
And as we've established, I'm Hannibal. So I'm creepy and
old.
Look about 20 years older than me. Yeah, love a cigar.
You're very culturally sensitive.
Yeah. I am.
Not at all racist.
Always tasteful. Classically tasteful, as always. Gentlemen, how are we?
Yeah, good. Good.
Good?
Good. Yeah, psyched for the A-team.
I am psyched for the A-team too. A real sort of change of direction from where we were with Seventh of Heaven. Still,
yes.
Still had the sort of wholesome values that were, but...
I'd argue more wholesome than Seventh Heaven turned out to be.
Well, like you said, Seventh Heaven was so wholesome that it just dialed way past. It just got into creepy territory.
Yeah.
Is Eric like the Hannibal of Seventh Heaven? Like the leader?
Yeah.
He is like the Hannibal. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And T-Bone is... B.A. Baracus. Yeah. Little loose cannon.
That sounds about right.
Yeah, getting on the RV.
Ain't getting on the RV.
I love that you've just given up on the...
I can't do it.
just
that's what I meant to be.
Why are you Baracus if you can't do it?
It's the gold. It's the gold chains.
Just give us one.
No, they're mine.
Oh. No.
Are we swapping roles?
Just give us one. I ain't getting on no RV.
I ain't getting on no RV.
Oh, that's pretty
good.
Not
bad, isn't it?
Right. That was really good.
Yeah. I thought that was...
That's solid.
Under pressure.
How are we all recovering after the... event that was Seventh Heaven?
Yeah, bouncing back, I guess.
Yeah,
I've been at church since we recorded.
So you felt strangely indoctrinated by the teachings of
I don't know why. I just kept I'd leave the house intending to walk to work and end up in church.
Are you the pastor in this scenario?
No, I'm just
you're just taking over. I've doing a tight 10 at the
I've just drank the Kool-Aid.
Perfect.
Yeah,
what's
I'm assuming it was a brainwashing exercise, Seventh Heaven.
Yeah,
naturally.
It's a recruitment video for the Catholic
one thing you didn't bring up. I have no idea what the difference between a father, a pastor, a minister, a padre, all those things. I got no idea.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I'm not good with my different strains of Christianity.
No. I think padre is the most fun to say.
It is.
That's
it
all
is.
I know.
Padre is like the military chaplains, aren't
they? Padre? Isn't padre just Spanish for father?
Oh, okay. That makes more sense.
The Spanish military chaplains.
I do. The reason I bring up Seventh Heaven and continue to push it is that there was a question I forgot to ask last episode that I wanted to pose to you guys and get some answers.
What would Eighth Heaven look like?
No, it wasn't that at all.
Okay. Sixth
can you demo? Just can you let me ask the question, please?
No, I'm just going to keep guessing.
Okay, oh my god. No, what it was because that was obviously a pretty tight knit and famous TV family. What TV family would you most want to belong to?
Ooh, not that one.
Definitely not.
Definitely.
Personally, having now done what we've seen, that makes no sense. But why did I phrase it like that?
I don't know.
I would want to be a part of the A-team, personally.
Okay, so they count as a family.
They count as a family.
Okay, is
only shows that we've done.
But okay, actually, no, it's got to be specifically if it's a family unit.
It's got to be show that we've done though, right?
Not necessarily.
I would like to be the fourth son of the Taylor household.
Oh, yeah.
The black sheep.
Yeah.
Jeremy.
Yep.
You'll play yourself, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Well, actually, that's what the question was.
Macaulay Culkin could play me.
Oh, yeah, he could pull it off.
He could definitely do it.
Especially the cracked out version of Macaulay
Culkin. Yeah.
I know you lied.
I love crack.
You love the crack.
I'll be Sam Beckett's long lost son.
Oh, yes. That's a good one.
Actually, no, maybe I'll son. Be... Yeah, I'll be son? Like an estranged uncle where he can come and leap back to visit me, but I won't really know it's him.
Are you actually Sam Beckett, though, in
no,
this
no.
scenario?
No, I just want to be unknowingly visited by him.
Okay.
I want to be quantum leapt.
You might have already been.
Yeah. I know, yeah.
You have such a, like a... Like Scott Bakula, you just weave that into our everyday lives as much as you possibly can.
Scott and I watched an episode the other day.
Oh, really?
It
really?
Was great.
It was really good. It was legitimately really
he traveled
good.
He travelled back to like Alabama and he was an old black man.
You mean just an
just old man?
Just old man.
Yeah, sorry.
It was incredible. They were so surprised that it was like a landmark event that he could leap into the body of an African American. Yeah. They were like, what does this mean?
If I can do this, anything's possible.
I don't know if he'd leapt into a woman by that stage.
No,
but
doesn't he leap into a woman? Oh, no.
I don't know.
I think that was like the seventh episode or something. So
so it's all just being like white middle-aged dude.
Exactly.
Up to that point.
Yeah. Sticking to what he knows.
Exactly. Mm. Plays it well. What about you, Scott? What family unit would you join?
See, if the A-team's a family, is the gang from It's Always Sunny a family?
Yes.
Okay.
Well, three of them at least are.
Yeah, that's
possibly
true.
Four.
Frank, D, and Dennis.
That's true.
Possibly four.
Through marriage. Yeah.
And
Charlie.
And yeah. Stephen Collins is actually technically the father of Dennis and D.
True.
The dad of Bruce.
Oh, that's right. Bruce Marcus. Wow, we did not mention that.
Yeah.
So maybe there. I don't know. That'd be pretty interesting.
That would be hell.
It'd be hell on earth.
What about of shows we've done?
I'd want to be part of the Jag family. It'd be Hans.
Bud.
Bud's son.
You can be Bud's bud.
I'll be Bud's bud. Wow. What's lower than that?
Maybe like
Al Borland?
Sydney Briscoe's younger brother entering the CIA.
Actually, no, I would want to be
Jez looks baffled.
I want
Alias, that's right.
We weren't there for Alias, so forget about that. I would want to be Jonathan Frakes' son from Star Trek. Just like shadowing him, everything he does. Every time he gets to sit down, like just walk over chairs. Okay. Never sit conventionally.
Because that's genetic, right? The walking over of chairs.
Exactly. Yeah.
But then you'd have to come in contact with John Delancey.
That's exactly why I would want to be. If I'm going to be fighting John Delancey, I want Jonathan Frakes having my back.
So on your side.
Commander Riker.
Q comes in and sets up like this delicate, intelligent plot, and you just come in and punch him in the face.
No, I would come up behind him with a chair, just break it over his back.
It's the king hit with the chair.
It's the Australian way.
The coward's punch.
Exactly. So, Sydney, you'll be a part of Sydney Briscoe's family. I'll be a part of Jonathan Frakes' family. What are you?
I'm the fourth Taylor.
And time. Sam Beckett's son. All right, we got some family units. I'm pretty happy with that. That's a nice outcome.
Let's get back onto the other unit we're talking about.
The A-team. So, going in, Jez, what did you know about the A-team?
I had seen the 2010 movie.
Have you?
I don't know why. But
I haven't seen it.
How was it?
I think I was because it came out just after District 9 and I was like, oh, it's Chateau Copley guy. He's great.
Yeah.
Watch anything with him. Turns out that was nothing good.
Who was he?
He was Murdoch.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Good casting choice.
Yeah.
If I may say so myself.
It actually is a well-cast movie.
Yeah.
Except for Rampage Jackson is... that's a good casting because Mr. T is not exactly a good actor.
No.
Neither is Quentin Jackson for that matter. So,
Who's Rampage Jackson?
Quentin Jackson.
Is he a wrestler?
Yeah, Quentin Jackson was a... Okay. No, he's not a wrestler. He's an MMA fighter.
Oh, he's a wrestler.
So even less of an actor than most wrestlers are.
Pretty much, yeah.
Great.
I remember watching an episode of The Ultimate Fighter where he was one of the coaches.
They should have got The Rock.
The Rock.
Assumed they got The Rock.
The Rock would have been better.
He's in every single reboot.
Yeah.
Those exactly. like action.
Yeah.
The closest thing Quentin Jackson had done to acting was that reality TV show Ultimate Fighter, where he was a coach and all his fighters kept losing, and then there was a scene where he just beat like he basically destroyed a door by punching it, just ripped it apart. It was really intense.
Anyway, outside of that reboot, my only other experience of the A-Team was through the Family Guy episode.
Yep. Oh, yeah. That's a classic.
The A-Team will get your beloved kitty down. Ready, boys?
Who the hell are you guys? We're the A-Team.
That's all I knew, to be honest. I've never seen it
the experience
before.
With
Family Guy, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, it was Mr. T's gold chains and a lot of cigar smoking.
I was about to say in that Family Guy rendition of it, who played Bear Baracus, but never mind. It's fairly obvious. Quagmire.
Obviously.
Yeah, I didn't know a whole lot. What I know now, having heard the theme, like, because I kind of knew it, but like having heard it now, it's like, oh, right, that's the one for the A-Team. Mm. In Too Many Cooks, you guys are familiar with Too Many Cooks?
Yep.
No,
oh, should I be? Familiar with Too Many
Cooks? You definitely should be.
It was this Adult Swim produced video where it's basically like the intro to a shitty 80s family sitcom where everybody's like, you know, in the middle of some like banal action, like they're cleaning the dishes or something, and then they turn to the camera, smile, and then their name comes up.
Yeah, yeah.
And it just extrapolates out from there. It goes for about maybe 11 minutes.
Yeah. Wow, this actually sounds amazing.
It's just an intro.
Yeah, and so it's just like constantly, yeah, they're just going through the intro song going like, too many cooks, too many cooks. And anyway, and there's a bit where they transition into like an animated military sort of section where they're just like running over sand and stuff, and they're like using the A-Team melody.
Okay.
It's kind of like that.
Too many cooks,
but yeah. Anyway, so that's pretty much it. Like, yeah, Mr. T, you know,
Snickers commercial.
Yeah, made famous from
Rocky
the A-Team in Snickers commercials. Was he in Rocky 3?
Yeah,
I know he's in Rocky 3. What is?
Was he the villain?
Yeah, he was. Oh God, what's his name?
He was. I can't remember. He was a boxer of some kind, but he played himself again.
What's his actual name? Theodore.
I have no idea.
Mr.
Clubber Lang.
That's right, yeah.
Holy
yeah.
shit.
I think that was just before the A-Team. That's what got him his big break.
But was he famous for anything else outside of that?
I don't know.
Being big.
He was in the army.
He's legitimately in the army.
Yep. The three of the main four were all served.
He really is just playing himself.
Lawrence Theroux.
That's his actual name.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or Theroux. I don't know.
Louis Theroux.
Yeah, it's like T-U-R-E-A-U-D.
So Louis Theroux's been
Louis Theroux's the new Mr. T.
Yeah.
Feel like in a 50-year like investigative story of being Mr. T.
So we're getting into the role.
Naturally. I'd actually seen bits and pieces of episodes before. I think it's like
daytime TV sort of thing.
Yeah, just like here and there. But I didn't really have much experience of it. And growing up having Foxtel, it was on Fox Classics all the time.
Yeah, I thought it was TV1.
It would have been on TV1, yeah. I thought it was Fox.
All right, guys.
They've changed all the channels now.
Why would you lie about that, Morgs?
Just, it gets off on lying.
You think we would pick up on that?
Yeah, I lie all the time, constantly.
You're a sick man.
That's how I get off. Don't you guys want to get off with me? This is how you get off.
Do we want to get back on track and maybe recap what happened in the first episode?
Probably a good idea.
The A-Team kicks off with a journalist named Amy, who is looking to extract her friend and colleague, Al Massey, after being kidnapped in Mexico. She attempts to enlist the services of a ragtag group of missionaries mostly known for robbing a bank in Hanoi at the end of the Vietnam War. Those missionaries are the A-Team. After being vetted by their leader, utilizing a very culturally sensitive depiction of a Chinese man, she meets the group.
Her master say, woman and people of low birth are hard to deal with.
There's John Hannibal Smith, a master of disguise, Templeton face man Peck, a slightly too good-looking con artist, Howling Mad Murdoch, a borderline schizophrenic pilot who can fly anything, and B.A. Baracus, a clever but brutal mechanic with a short fuse. There's also Colonel Lynch, a military commander who's been chasing them for several years. The team fly to Mexico, against the behest of Baracus.
I said I ain't getting on no airplane, Hannibal.
And start snooping around. After locating Massey's whereabouts, they hatch a plan to recover him, resourcing all their vehicles and equipment from a local film production company, under the guise of, we need to use it for a movie.
Andre's got this idea about sticking in this cornball dream sequence. Bo Derek, on the wing of a biplane, spraying this field that her lover is standing in below. You want my opinion? It stinks. That kind of stuff went out with capped teeth. But if he wants it, he gets it.
They discover that Massey's kidnappers aren't your run-of-the-mill gang. They've been shaking down villages in order to grow marijuana and sell it to an American importer, giving the profits to a local guerrilla militia. Baracus gives a heartwarming speech to the locals and inspires an uprising.
I suppose I can understand one man running scared, but a whole town? A whole village? People might as well be dead.
After 30 minutes of jeep-flipping madness, they come out on top, overrunning the militia and escaping with the missing journalist.
They end by initiating Amy into the group and flying off into the sunset, albeit the plane's upside down.
So I've never seen so many Jeep flips.
They love a lot of Jeep flips.
I wanted to talk about the PG action.
Yeah.
A lot of Jeep flips, a lot of shooting tires out, a lot of like missing with your guns.
Yeah, a lot of
warning shots.
And a lot of fist fights, but no injuries.
No.
Like there's a scene where B.A. Baraka is fighting this ginormous Mexican dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're just like punching each other square in the jaw.
Yeah,
five times in a row.
No defensive stance. No, they just stand there and like basically take turns punching each other in the face.
That's how men used to fight back in the day. You just take all the hits.
The gentleman's fight.
Exactly. The old just arms straight out. No defense, all offense. But I do love how in that scene, though, when Baracus fights that giant Mexican dude, how he's just kind of like they call him out and he just happens to be waiting behind a bar shirtless, ready to come out. Like, how prepared are they for like...
They've done this before.
Ex-military, like ex-American Marines to walk in.
It's not a tourist bar.
I brought Mr. T in here to fight the biggest dude you have. Who you got?
Yeah. I love how he's... Fair enough, Mr. T's, you know, he's quite built, but he's not tall or imposing. So he kicks the door down and comes in and sort of like, you know, postures and walks through the crowd. But he's like pretty much shorter than everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's only a little bit intimidating.
He'd be like, do you reckon he'd be under 6 foot?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah, he's not tall.
5'9" maybe, 5'10".
Let's have a look.
I do like in that scene though when they're fighting and they take on like 35 people. Hannibal's like just...
5'10".
So he's not tall.
178 centimetres.
So in that scene where Baracus he's got to fight the big guy, and then Hannibal takes on the other 65 people in the bar, and he's just roundhousing everyone, and he's like 65.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah.
Like hip would be shattered instantly.
Was it? I didn't think it was a stunt double. I'm pretty sure it's him.
It looked like him. It was a very convincing stunt double, and the show had some unconvincing effects. So I really feel like he's probably a bit more sprightly than we give credit for.
He just went for it. It was really difficult trying to pick his actual age. He's like, is he 70? Is he 40? I don't know. He's grey.
Do we think
he's fit but prematurely grey. The actor that played him was mid-50s during the pilot.
At the pilot, okay. Yeah. So we did work out that.
But he looked older.
Yeah.
Aged him up.
Mm. I think they might have aged him up.
Like they did with Liam Neeson in the reboot?
Yeah.
Aged him right up?
Yep. Oh, so he was Hannibal.
He was Hannibal.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Well, you don't like Neeson?
You don't like Neeson as Hannibal?
I don't know why. I have an impression of Neeson as like a really good highbrow actor, except
have you seen
not
what he does?
Yeah.
You talk about the same Liam Neeson?
Yeah, I don't know why.
He had some pretty highbrows. Like,
You're thinking of Schindler's List.
Yeah, exactly. He's been downhill since
Schindler's
91.
Schindler's List and Rob Roy in the mid-90s. Yeah. And now he's just, basically, there's his chops. Now he's just...
No, I like Love, actually.
Oh, but that's coming. Yeah.
That's not highbrow, but it's...
No.
He's one speed.
Yeah.
Tall Bono.
And now he's just like running. That's his speed.
That is his speed.
Exactly. God,
have you seen that?
The Commuter?
No. There's this shot from, I think it's Taken 3.
Where they're
like
the fence.
Jumping the fence. There's like 50 cuts in about 2 seconds.
It is amazing.
Just to try and get like this 65-year-old man over a fence. It's so good.
Anyway, back to the show.
Can we talk about their vetting process for when they... let someone hire them.
Got real racist with it, didn't they?
Yeah. So first of all, Howling Mad tells the reporter to meet someone in an alley behind a club, and basically it's Hannibal dressed up as a homeless man.
But the person who they're meant to be meeting, because he says you meet the A-team behind the club, right?
Yeah. The first step is to be nice to a homeless person.
Yeah.
And then so she falls asleep in a car.
The homeless guy drops his bottle of whiskey and she gives him $20.
So he can buy a new bottle of whiskey.
So that's test one passed.
Yeah.
Test two is she's woken up by Hannibal as a just an amazing depiction of a Chinese man.
Yeah.
You come, I fix.
Wait, what about the car?
The master say only the very wisest and the very stupidest cannot change.
You didn't say it was a tasteful depiction?
No. And he did not look at all Chinese.
Just hunched over, that was it.
It was
hunched
over, so obvious.
A little bit of shoe polish on the face and some sort of like pubes stuck to his chin.
It was
I think there's only one character that could possibly rival how terrible his disguises are.
What did he find?
He said he wanted to tell us in person.
Don't get up, I just finding the supplies because I'm a private detective. Gene Parmesan, how are you doing?
Ah, Gene! Oh, Gene, isn't he the best?
Gene was far from the best.
I can't remember that.
Gene Parmesan.
I can't remember Gene Parmesan.
He's like their private eye, and he's just awful.
I've seen a lot of...
For no reason, dresses up in these ridiculous outfits.
Yeah.
I've only seen Arrested Development once all the way through.
Oh, really?
So I can't remember it.
Who plays him again?
I don't know the actor.
Gene Parmesan.
Gene Parmesan.
Oh, I thought you were going to pull a clip from Breakfast at Tiffany's, where Mickey Rooney plays the Japanese neighbor.
Is that
unbelievably like just racist? It's just absurd.
That's just like the character, isn't it? In that film,
yeah. Or the private detective that Steve Buscemi plays in 30 Rock.
Oh, he's the best.
He's the best.
Awesome. How do you do, fellow kids?
Yeah. Anyone know about the drugs?
So basically, you be nice to a homeless person.
Yeah.
You. Don't be racist to a Chinese person, I guess.
You don't point out so like a middle-aged white man dressed as a middle-aged Chinese man.
Yeah.
You look ridiculous. This isn't working at all.
Really poor accent.
Yeah.
And then they'll spouting off Confucius quotes.
Pick you up with 5 seconds notice. Yeah. Saying, here we go.
Yeah.
Give us your money. We're on a plane to Mexico.
Yeah.
Right now, I'm not packed. What about my car? What about all this stuff?
Lock up and leave it. We're leaving. You got 5 seconds.
And they pick her up in a weekend. They're like, why couldn't you get the cash? It's 1982 that we have to get it from banks. Like, there's no ATMs. There's a lot of, I mean, let's just say there's a lot of, I mean, for an ex-military, like Green Berets, they're not the greatest.
It's not a smooth operation.
No.
You touched on it in the recap there, Scott. Face seems to be able to procure things way too easily. So they get the Gulfstream jet just by pretending to be, what is it, like some
oil tycoon,
like an oil tycoon's son.
Yeah,
it's like we want to buy it, but we're gonna have to take it away to Texas to show
for like 3 days.
Show it to my dad for the weekend. So is that all right? And
yeah, we need right a deposit.
Don't put a deposit down on this like $5 million plane.
Yeah,
and because he's so charming and attractive,
just say yes,
chuck him a wink.
Yeah,
all good.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, chuck him the keys.
And then when they do get to Mexico, they just go into the hotel and act really entitled. And that convinces the hotel manager that... Is it a hotel manager?
They had no room, so they got to stay in the hotel owner's... Yeah, like,
private villa.
Private villa.
And who are they getting all the other stuff from?
It's like a film company.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Who
they like must advertise, have like, come film in Acapulco.
Yeah.
And we'll give you all these breaks and we'll supply all this stuff.
Yeah, they must have some ties to the government.
We'll give you an armored bus.
Yeah. Yeah, at one point they're asking for like a submarine. Like, where are they going to get a submarine from?
It's just not a good way of going about getting stuff. Like, it'd be so much easier to just get the stuff yourself.
And also, like, they said that they'd done that routine like multiple times.
Yeah, film crew?
That would spread so quickly in the film community.
First of all, it wouldn't work once.
Yeah,
and if it did, you'd be shut down. Where's the next time?
Why do we not have a contract?
Yeah.
Why have we not been contacted all this about stuff. This once?
Yeah.
It's Mexico. There are no rules there.
Yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Flawless.
I do want to... One of the things I do get from that production company is that crop duster, which I love. They then go and spray the crops, the bad guys gang. They're growing marijuana. That's their drug of choice. They spray it all with ammonia to kill it.
Mm.
And I tell you what though, I was thinking like when they're spraying it, like the sentries inside that marijuana field to get ammonia sprayed on their skin. Oh man, they are in some serious trouble.
A world of pain.
They would melt their skin off.
Yeah, they really go above and beyond what the actual mission is. I just need to go and.
And rescue
get one guy. Get him out.
They liberate
this whole town.
Yeah.
Or basically just like reinstall another faction is what they do by the end of the episode.
Like you said, it's not the smoothest of operations or the best run. It's, you know.
Yeah.
They get shit done though.
Oh, I don't
see. In a very roundabout kind of way.
Yeah. Mm. They're like anti-MacGyver.
Yeah.
Like MacGyver just has a couple of things that he's got that are not very impressive and then combines them together to do something incredible, whilst the A-team don't have anything but just need all this like huge shit and then have to like talk themselves
helicopters, submarines,
grenades, like
and do something mediocre.
Yeah.
And completely misuse all the equipment.
Yeah.
It's like it's anti-MacGyver. It's really
which is kind of when I was like when I was searching for this show, I was going to stream it initially, and I searched for it in Stan, which the Australian streaming service Stan, and it came.
Shout out to Stan,
but the top result because they didn't have it was actually MacGruber.
Yes,
and as you were saying that, I'm like, this is very much like, this is very MacGruber-esque. You can see where Will Forte got the idea from MacGruber because it's completely insane. All that, like the way things just completely pan out for them.
Mm. I feel like they'd be easier to track down as well if they're somewhat war criminals. Surely the US army would be, like, they just the way that they escape at the start of the episode, they escape the army that the military police that are chasing them by just driving through a film set and submerging one of the cars in water. That's it. And then they're just off the trail.
But also, why did the military send like the colonel of the prison warden and like five other guys to track, like, to what they talk about is like, this is like one of the most elite military units going around. Oh, we'll send six dudes to catch a four. I'm sure it'll be fine.
Yeah. And then, like, and at the end, when the colonel is like at the airport in Mexico by himself, and then he just gets punched out, they put him in the boot of the car. Yeah. Like, all right, we got
to
go.
And it would be so easy once they get in a plane to track them.
Yeah.
Oh, they're going to land somewhere in America.
Yeah.
Wait till they land, get
them, and arrest them
with more than one dude.
Yeah.
I feel like they don't actually want to catch them.
With Murdoch, can he literally fly anything?
That's what they say.
As in, he can turn anything into a flying vehicle, or
he's like a pilot MacGyver.
Okay. Yeah, you make a plane out of anything. Is that possible?
I don't think so.
I want to ask if there are any pilots listening, I just want to know if that's even remotely possible.
The skills are
because it sounds like, yeah, it sounds like something that could be done.
If you've flown a helicopter, I mean, how different can they be, right?
I don't know.
You've driven one model of car, you can drive all models.
Yeah, you've driven an automatic, you could drive a manual.
Yeah, what?
There's a guy, a friend of mine who's a helicopter pilot. When I say friend, it's a guy I know.
Is he listening?
No, he's trying to make himself sound
cooler than you actually are.
Yeah,
helicopter pilots.
I remember having a conversation.
Friends are all dead shits. I know.
No one. They can barely drive cars. I just remember this conversation. There was a few of us having a conversation because he just started this new job. He was flying people out to the outback, like from Adelaide. It was something. Mm. And he was talking about this helicopter that he was flying. And then one of the guys was like, oh, so look, could anyone just fly it? He's like, no, you can't just pick it up and just fly anything. He's like, okay, what if that happens? I'm getting chased by zombies. I get in the helicopter. I got to fly off. And I get in there. Could I just fly it? He's like, you would crash almost immediately if you could even get off the ground. It's incredibly complicated.
Yeah.
And this guy, Jack, is like, nah, I definitely could. I'm like, I don't think you understand how complicated it is to fly a helicopter.
How long do you reckon it'd take you to work it out?
I honestly have zero experience.
20? Maybe a week.
15, 20
minutes.
At least be able to like turn it on.
Yeah.
Well, the gear is the key, surely. Turn it on.
You reckon?
When they flick all the switches and stuff like that.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
It's just a stereo.
They're excellent DJs. It's just like
they're
just regular pilots.
You're thinking of those Hollywood plants.
You know when they flick one switch and like five go up as well?
Yeah.
Like just have one switch.
Little macros.
They make it look harder than it is. I reckon it's a lot of like, oh no, you wouldn't be able to do it. It's way too hard. But it's just a bunch of like.
You reckon it's just like driving a car?
Yeah, basically.
I think to settle this, we should go jack a helicopter from some airport.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
After the podcast.
I've played Grand Theft Auto.
Well, your face seems pretty easy. So...
You need to procure the helicopter.
Yeah, just talk him into it.
And I am fine on the helicopter, okay, Joe. So you're going to have to hit me up for some Novocaine.
I will Novocaine.
Let's talk about that.
Yeah, we haven't spoken about that.
We're going to talk about that.
So B.A. Baracus has a paralyzing fear of flying.
I told you what I was going to do to you next time you try to take me on an airplane, didn't I?
Please, what is going on?
I'll be A... You're going to have one of your anxiety blackouts.
So the only way they can get him on a plane is to hit him up with some Novocaine and just knock him right out and carry him on there. That seems very problematic.
And then they've got to like strap him in because if he wakes up, he'll try and kill them all.
Yeah.
Surely they've like figured out a better way.
Yeah. And like it seems like they do it to him like once a week.
Because I don't want to jump ahead, but the opening shot of the last episode is them doing that exact thing again.
The Novocaine.
So it must be every week.
Because they got to... Does he develop some sort of
dependence on it as well?
The long-term effects of that much Novocaine use would be horrendous.
I was going to say, like...
Some sort of addict?
I was going to say, there's like 85 episodes, 5 seasons. He almost certainly has brain damage.
Yeah.
Totally. And like, just administering that. Like, one time, they're going to give him too much.
Mm. Oh, yeah.
Or not enough.
And they don't seem to measure it. He just like...
They just whack him in.
Jams a needle into his shoulder. And
they keep saying, they brush it off saying like, you've just gone into one of your anxiety blackouts.
Yeah.
Which he probably actually has because of all the Novocaine they give him.
Yeah, because there'd be periods where he wouldn't
have
any.
That's a side effect.
There'd be periods where he'd have no Novocaine and heaps. So his body would be so unregulated. He'd just be heavily addicted.
He should be a vegetable by the last episode.
not only that last episode when... Well, just not to jump ahead too far, but they stick him with the needle and they're like, oh, it's a mosquito. He's been stuck with it that many times. The only way he wouldn't know that it's a needle is because he's so brain damaged from the amount of Novocaine they've given him over the years.
He's got like permanent numb patches on his body.
Oh,
he just has calluses where the needle's been in it that many times. Yeah. He wouldn't feel it. It's like elephant skin.
There's a lot of problems with that.
Yeah.
Like, I think it's a very irresponsible showing. Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So anyway, later today when we go out, we'll Novocaine Aaron to get into the bar.
Yeah, hates cars.
Yeah, hates travelling. Terrible agoraphobia, don't you? It's can't even
I
leave
do,
the house.
It's crippling.
So that's what we're going to get you, Novocaine. Get you anywhere. I did really enjoy the extras and like the secondary characters in this show because they just really like hired the most out of shape, weird looking actors going around. Is it just me or were they just like the Mexican gang leader and his main henchman, the guy with the red singlet?
Oh yeah, yeah.
Like especially the henchman had looked like he'd been severely beaten by the ugly stick. He was actually offensive to look at.
The good Lord in all his wisdom. Did not bless him.
I don't think the good Lord even paid attention to him at all when he made him. His face is an absolute disaster. No offense. Well,
some offense.
Some offense.
Dishing out a lot of offense.
Well,
if it makes you feel any better, the guy's probably dead.
It was 35 years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. No, feel better now.
I can almost guarantee he's dead.
But good. It means I can throw as much shade as I want.
His estate isn't going to come after us. There's no way they're listening to this podcast.
You say that now. But I want to talk about the fact that Mr. T just has flocks of children following wherever he goes. Why? I don't understand. What's the point?
Because they can see through his gruff facade.
Okay.
He puts off all the adults, but the kids see his heart inside.
He's an expert flautist.
Yeah. He's what?
Expert flautist?
Flautist?
Yeah. He's a flute player, isn't he? The flautist?
Just like lures them in.
Lures children. So to help him carry things.
Yeah, so like the Pied Piper.
Oh, yeah.
His siren song.
But I did... On that, kids helping him carry stuff.
Yeah.
And there's all those Mexican children chasing him. He's carrying like a big steel beam. And he's like, all right, I'll let you guys help me. And they basically just end up hanging off the end of it.
Don't help him at all. Because he's like, he's enormous. And he's like, let you help me with this pole. And they just like reach up.
Grabbing onto it, pulling it down.
And there's many of them. There's like 30 just trying to like
So now
this
not
pole.
Only is he carrying this giant metal beam, he's carrying
a bunch
like 30 Mexican kids.
Needs to get his workouts in where he can.
That's true.
Exactly.
That's
pumping iron.
There's a reason he like, you know, that body requires maintenance.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And the best maintenance is like having a bunch of kids hold onto a giant metal pole while you carry them around.
Already established that shoulder's completely numb from all the pain.
That's the thing, you can't feel anything.
Doesn't feel anything. Collarbone's completely shattered. It's got no clue.
They're probably all addicted to the Novocaine.
Yeah.
Like, Hannibal's probably just shooting himself up constantly.
Yeah, for sure.
Actually,
he seems to have an endless supply. So. Yeah.
Jumping ahead to the last episode, in the intro, there's a scene where they push him out of an aeroplane with a parachute that opens. So presumably he was unconscious.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
Some war zone, they just shove him out and then he just wakes up in the middle of a jungle.
Wow.
That's not going to work.
I do disagree.
Like, you land... terribly.
Yeah. You're not going that slow when you're in a parachute.
No.
No. I do just think brace remember.
Well, he's got all the Novocaine though.
I have seen a video somewhere of like them pushing B.A. Baracus out of plane and him screaming. Like, I was trying to find it on YouTube.
I'd be screaming.
Yeah. Like they're pushing him out and he's just like,
I bet they got a moderate fear of flying and I'd be screaming.
I cannot for the life of me. I've been trying to find it on YouTube but I can't find it. Maybe I made it up, but it's just as likely. But yeah.
Should we move on to the last episode of The A-Team?
Oh, I think we should.
The finale kicks off with the team getting back from a mission, and they're now working for a man named Stockwell. He wants them on another job right away, but not tonight. It's Monday Night Football, and B.A. Baracus is a huge Redskins fan.
Tonight is Monday Night Football, Redskin Cowboys, fire!
For some reason, Murdoch is a waiter in an Italian restaurant now, and convinces the face and a new team member, Frankie, to come down for dinner. As they settle in for a nice meal, Murdoch notices a shady customer carrying a gun. They wrestle it off him, but one of his partners puts a bullet in the face's gut. Their mobster's there to carry out a hit on the Attorney General, who's got reservations for 9 p.m. The face is bleeding out in the kitchen, while the goons hold everyone else hostage. As they try to figure out what to do, B.A. comes in for a halftime pizza. When he gets it home, he sees that Murdoch has craftily spelled out help in anchovies, which B.A. hates.
Anchovies? Anchovies? That fool put anchovy on his pizza. I'm gonna kill him.
B.A. and Hannibal rush in to take out the criminals. Their plan's going perfectly, and everything looks good as the kindly old cop from the start of the episode comes in. But a twist. He's in the pocket of these gangsters and he's helping them out with the hit. The whole team's held hostage now, and the Attorney General is almost there. So Hannibal sneakily turns the gas on, lights his trademark cigar, and flicks the butt into the kitchen, causing an explosion. This lets the team get the jump on the thugs, and they take him out just as the Attorney General walks in.
What the hell is this?
You better start thinking Chinese food, pal. Let's grab that cop.
Thankfully, the face survived and he's resting up at home. Murdoch brings him a pizza to say get well soon. But what's that? Not more anchovies.
Smells good. Anchovies?
Face likes anchovies.
Nobody likes anchovies!
Nobody likes anchovies.
Nobody likes anchovies, but like before we get into the anchovies, why is Murdoch a waiter?
Anchovy it's, gate.
And he's so like adamant that that's a really it. Good career path.
Yeah,
like
it's
he's
very lucrative.
You can earn $100,000 as a waiter. Not in 1988.
No, definitely
not.
No,
not
that's
even
a lot of money.
Yeah. I just, man, that makes me so mad. Like, I just don't understand why.
Because he's between insane.
Between his presumably other lucrative like job of basically working as like a you know private army for some guy.
Yeah.
Mm.
Surely they're getting paid a shit ton for doing that.
I think so.
And why is he like on his nights off waiting at like some measly little Italian restaurant? It doesn't make any sense.
Literally none. Because he would
like
make
the food or
like, they, as mercenaries, they would make a stack of money.
He says yeah. like they pay well and he gets free meals. But
yeah,
and they're living in this like beautiful mansion.
Yeah.
Hang out and watch football and like creep on 20-year-old girls.
Yeah, oh, God, that
that's
was
the Hannibal way.
The Hannibal way. That is
the age difference of 40-plus years.
You two been behaving while I was gone.
Were we supposed to?
It's so creepy. I mean, it, honestly, it that, she looks like his daughter. It's, it's
granddaughter.
Really messed up.
Yeah.
I was actually, I was pretty hyped the opening shot to the last episode where it's like that silver old school plane flying through all these mountains and stuff. I'm like, oh, this is going to be a great episode.
Yeah.
So much cool shit's going to happen. And then it's just like a bottle episode in some Italian restaurant.
It was a really weird final episode.
Yeah. I much preferred it to the first episode.
Really?
Really?
No.
Yeah.
No, the first was much
better. Mostly because the first episode went for about an hour too long.
Yeah. True.
It did take me by surprise when the face got shot though. Because like we were saying in the first episode, no real violence happened. No. And then out of nowhere, he's bang. Just like...
Face man takes one in the stomach. Yeah.
It's a very different sort of setting to the first episode.
Yep. Indeed.
I wonder how far along they made that change.
Yeah, yeah. Mm.
What do you mean?
That,
like from the international travel...
Paramilitary style.
Yeah, yeah.
To small little...
Or like whether this was like... the problems. Yeah, this is the only episode that,
yeah, that
that's
would,
like it.
That'd be interesting. I mean, it's clearly changed directions because that's Stockwell, Robert Vaughn. Who just a quick side note to that. You notice that him at the start, he's wearing those yellow glasses?
Yeah.
Yeah, I love those.
Have you noticed, like, what benefit do they give you?
The glasses, but with a slight tint.
Yeah, but why would you want to...
You should get some, Jez.
If you turn 60, you get issued a pair of those.
Yeah, like, the Stan Lees.
I don't get it. Like, what advantage to, like, seeing everything in, like, slight tinge of yellow?
Maybe it's like it looks like the olden days.
So, oh, okay. Yeah.
It's very nostalgic.
They're not blocking
everything
much.
Was in sepia tone in the
20s. Yeah,
they're not blocking any sun. It's just, like, being drunk all the time. Like, anyway.
You see yellow when you get drunk?
Yeah, don't you? Sometimes pink. It's all weird.
So they're working for this guy Stockwell.
Yeah.
So he's like holding some pardon over them, so saying like you need to keep working
it's like,
for me.
Yeah, he's because it's like, oh hey, because at one point, Hannibal. I keep wanting to call Hannibal Baracus. Hannibal Baracus. Anyway,
that's one point he rings. Is it because of Hannibal Buress?
I think so. Yeah. But he rings him and goes, oh, General, this is going down. I could have a SWAT team there in 3 minutes. Because he's clearly military and like I think at some point they've been captured and now they're working for him to get their name cleared or whatever. But that much is obvious. But that's why they're living in like, it's our like sitcom. They live in a massive mansion together and all sorts of hijinks are happening.
They're like the Golden Girls.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean Hannibal's off the edge of the Golden Girls.
And why don't they send the SWAT team?
Because Hannibal and Baracus are going to take care of it.
Yeah, so they're in a van waiting out the front and the cop's like, you guys have been sitting here a while.
Mm.
So Hannibal makes up some ridiculous story about how he wants to go see the Washington Monument. Why wouldn't you just say you're waiting for a pizza? You're outside a pizza shop.
That was my immediate thought. And then they went some other direction with it.
Instantly the cop's like, yeah, it's that way. Please leave now.
That cop
have to drive.
That cop as well, who's 75 and walking a beat in New York by himself.
No, Washington.
Yeah. Washington. Also, like wearing like a 1950s police officer uniform in 1988.
That would not be a standard issue uniform.
Not at all. With the giant wooden baton as well. It's all just very...
Yeah, I think...
It's like they were really... like it's like they... Not only did they run out of ideas, they ran out of like costumes in the wardrobe.
I absolutely loved when just this... But before the Attorney General was getting there and they were, the gangsters were like, make it look normal, start serving food, everyone just sit down. Hey, you make me some pasta. So they get the waiter to make him some pasta and he just comes out with a plate of spaghetti. It's about a kilo of just plain spaghetti,
nothing on it.
Yeah. And the other guy's like, hey, where's mine?
And his hands are shaking.
It's
well,
so
he didn't say what, he didn't like,
I mean, he got
he didn't
in
specify
pasta.
A sauce. He just said, make me pasta. So he made him pasta.
Yeah.
Took it very literally.
There was some growth in character, though, which I did notice from episode one to the finale, which was Hannibal when he rings up pretending to be Italian.
Spaghetti al dente, fettuccine alfredo, cappuccino,
commodo,
fish.
Pasta, cappuccino. It just seems like a whole...
Cappuccino, alfredo, spaghetti, bolognese.
And the guy's like, oh, I can't understand what you're saying. Which is a really, really common Italian word.
Bamboozle them with generic Italian words that are used frequently by the English language, yeah.
And the guy just freaks out and hangs up. It's
the worst plan. It's the worst plan.
What?
This guy was a colonel in the military. Like this was his move.
But instead of putting the Italian owner on, they put Murdoch on, who probably doesn't speak a shred of Italian.
Yeah.
I did want to talk about as well. So B.A. Baracus this episode, it's like he's very aware that he's acting.
Do you think he got? I was going to say he got worse as an actor.
He did.
Yeah,
noticeably worse. So much worse. Like he's
there's a reason why they didn't put him in the main parts of the episode.
Yeah, he's just so aware that he's acting. Like it's everything he does. Like about football. Is this like a promo for Monday Night Football?
I think so.
Unbelievable, man. 10-10 should be a great second half.
And he's losing it about like who's I can't remember the teams that were playing, but he's wearing
the Redskins and the Cowboys.
Yeah, he's like, oh, the skins are up. Oh, it's great. And he's wearing a Bears top.
Yeah, it's so.
Is what? He really? I didn't know.
Yeah, it's really hot.
He's got this giant radio headset that he's wearing.
Yeah, so not plugged into anything.
But he must have walked there. They must live right next to the restaurant.
Yeah,
or at least very nearby.
Doesn't make any sense. It's like duck down there at halftime to get a pizza.
And you can hear the commentary going in his headphones, and he's like, "Oh, it's halftime." But they're commentating right now.
Crowd's cheering.
But having said that, we know that he has brain damage. The character,
yeah,
that's
true.
Yeah. So maybe they're just playing old no games on the headphones for him.
So maybe
it's a Tuesday afternoon.
Maybe T is actually a real method actor, and he's gotten well inside Baracus, knowing that he had all this brain damage from the amount of.
It was
Novocaine.
Cheaper for them to use real Novocaine
than to inject him with what water?
Yeah.
Got to inject him with something.
So we don't. I guess we don't really need to speculate much about what happened over the course of the series.
No, the only...
The episodes that we missed.
Well, what happened to the journalist?
To Amy?
At the start.
Amy,
I don't know that she was ever going to be... I don't think she was going to be...
You reckon she was maybe only there for like two episodes?
Yeah, I think so.
And they killed her off?
Probably the same thing with... Because they changed the actor of the face man to someone else. So they probably... and it was a pilot, so they make changes.
She sort of was pitching... She was basically giving them her resume at the end of the first episode.
Yeah.
She wanted to join the team.
I think they really could have used her just to be like, just to try to manage them.
Yeah.
Just like an HR person.
Yeah. They did need someone to keep them all on track.
Yeah.
And to moderate the Novocaine dosage.
Yeah, so you should definitely get a journalist, not a doctor for that.
Oh, well, you know.
But they did bring in Frankie. At some point to replace
the greasiest looking dude ever.
Oh, yeah.
Those sideburns and that ponytail, like, there's so much oil in that hair. It's absurd.
What's his, what does he bring to the table?
I don't know.
Another actor.
Okay. Mechanic, pilot, six actors.
Real ensemble cast.
And I love that.
Got everything you need for a paramilitary unit.
Exactly. And the mechanic is basically addicted to Novocaine. He's really thin. Yeah. And the pilot is clinically insane.
Yeah. Yep.
And afraid of ammonia.
That's right. You got all these actors. So actors can be anything.
They'll plug the holes.
If you get a doctor, they can just be a doctor. But an actor can be a doctor. The doctor can be a teacher.
Yeah, you're right. That's why they became actors. Yeah. So they can literally do anything.
Yeah.
Why limit yourself?
Yeah, exactly.
To one profession.
Swiss Army Knife of the A-team member.
Which of the two faces did you prefer?
Second.
Yeah.
Second?
Yeah. Because the second one was actually handsome.
Yeah, the first dude was...
I like the first one just because of the one shot at the end of episode one where Murdoch was like, I feel like a cold beer. And then out of nowhere, just a hand comes in from the side of the screen and just gives him beer.
Was that product
and only,
and
then and it only cut, he laughs.
He's like, ha, ha.
It cuts away.
It was so weird.
I had that written down and I forgot to mention it. It's the weirdest scene. Could really go with a cold beer. Everyone's silent. And then, Faisal gives him a beer and then he laughs for himself. And they've all got guns. And meanwhile, in the background, all the villagers are holding the paramilitary dudes with machetes. Can you imagine what happens in the next 20 minutes? I'd love to be there to see what happens.
Where do you get the beer from?
Where do you get the cold beer from?
Weren't they just on the run from
they were like a 5-hour chase through the Mexican jungle.
Oh, actually, he came in with the plane. Then. Maybe they got a cooler in there.
I totally forgot about that. Bought one beer to share.
He knows Hannibal wants a beer after a mission. Gotta keep him happy.
But it's also the laugh. Like, just no one else laughs. Like,
do they angle the label at the camera?
I don't think so. I don't think it's like how they show the Novocaine label.
Okay. Were they getting funded by Novocaine?
I think so. Yeah,
it must have been.
The Novocaine big industry. Novocaine.
One of those big old like steel cans as well. Yeah, back when, like, you know, if you want a can beer to taste like metal. Boom.
Yep. Yeah.
What's Mr. T's punchline?
I pity the fool.
I pity the fool.
That was never said in A-Team.
That's his punchline from
Rocky.
Okay.
But everyone just associates it with Mr. T, so it's like A-Team, pity the fool.
What does he say in A-Team?
I ain't getting on no plane.
That's probably actually his catchphrase, because it seems like they get on a plane.
Anchovies.
Yeah.
Anchovies. Oh my God. Nobody likes anchovies.
Yeah, he's here really. Short temper.
He does.
Mm. It's all the Novocaine.
Yeah. Straight to murder for like
stress.
The slightest indiscretions.
That's why he's only got hair going around the outside, because he's balding from anxiety.
Yeah.
Weird balding pattern.
Yeah.
Very odd. That probably just about does it for the finale. Let's move into reboot, shall we?
Alrighty. Can I kick us off?
Go for it.
Absolutely.
Can I go second?
Sure.
Sure. Can I go third?
Shit.
Sucking
ass. I don't know.
All right, so my reboot is going to do it as a movie.
Yep.
Like a modern interpretation of the A-Team.
Like circa 2010?
Can you just let me...
All right, sorry.
So, bunch of Iraq war veterans this time, and they get framed for a crime they didn't commit, which is why they're on the run when they come back.
Yep.
So, rather than just sort of doing, you know... vigilante type work, picking up little contracts here and there to extradite people from Mexico, whatever.
Yep.
They're looking to clear their name, and that's the purpose of the movie.
Okay.
So I'm going Liam Neeson as Hannibal.
Okay.
Yeah. I reckon he's got the range.
Yeah, definitely. Mm-hmm.
He's done some like serious acting, and he's also
been a little light-hearted stuff as well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He's done the action as well.
Yeah, he's done very Boston movies. For a second. Yeah,
don't know.
Light-hearted.
I wasn't really sure who to go with face. I was thinking Brad Pitt, but he's probably too old, so I'm going with Bradley Cooper.
Okay, also a good choice. Yeah,
yeah. And then, insane actors. You've got Steve Buscemi again, maybe a little bit too old. Yeah. Cage, too old.
Probably too skinny as well, Buscemi.
So I went a little bit left field. I went with Chateau Copeland.
Oh, good choice.
Really? Yeah. What's he from?
He's from the A-Team reboot. Oh,
that's right. Yeah, yeah.
And then I went with Rampage Jackson.
Quentin Jackson, yeah. Good choice. Yeah. He's got that psycho edge, doesn't he? Mm. And he's a big dude.
So it's called the A-Team.
Oh, yeah, okay. That's cool. Yeah, good.
It's a good name.
Yeah, thoughts?
You know, you should.
I don't know how you come up with this stuff.
If you were to add a female character as well, just to sort of balance it out, let's for argument say Jessica Biel.
Probably Jessica Biel.
Just throwing back to Seventh Heaven, let's go Jessica Biel. Yeah.
If you had to have someone play Lynch, who was a big character in the series, you'd probably go with Patrick Wilson.
Yeah, I think so. Patrick Wilson's got it.
Yeah, and then I was going to get Joe Carnahan to direct.
Oh, good idea.
He's done some really good stuff.
Love his work.
Well, he did the A-Team reboot back in 2010, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. Spud Chance.
Oh, okay.
Jess, who are you going to get as the line producer, do you think?
Who's Key Grip?
Who's the best
key
boy?
Grip.
I need some answers.
Just wait.
Okay.
Just wait.
The line producer is a very important role.
So I reckon...
If you can't recast the line producer, what are you doing?
Greg Sestero.
Yeah.
I reckon I've seen her work on other movies. She's done really good stuff. Irene Astle as the payroll accountant. Really good. And I've been really struggling to cast someone as the first aide for the second unit.
Like, how do you replace the original?
How do you replace Graham Blacklock? He's just...
I can bring him back.
He really, like, his fingerprints are all over the 2000s. So I struggle with a reboot. I was thinking doing the B-Team, and I'm like, that's too obvious. Yeah. So I'll go even more obvious.
Just do the same thing.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so obvious.
I reckon we could strive for maybe like a 6.8 on IMDb.
Okay. Yeah. So we're literally just going to remake the same film, but just with a like inflation now. Like,
no, we might change the key grip.
Okay, all right.
That's where it went wrong.
But yeah, that probably dropped at like 3.
That's why IMDb
points. Yeah. Anyway, so the 18.
What do you got, Scott?
Okay, I'm going to jump right into this. I'm going to reboot the A-Team as a text-based video game called My Dinner with Baracus. So, it's set for release alongside the television show. You pick your character. You can pick out of Hannibal, Murdoch, or Faceman. And you got to pick a restaurant. You can pick an Italian restaurant if you like. Something with pizza, or you know, go out for Thai food.
Chinese,
could do Chinese. And basically, you've just got to like sit down, have a conversation with Baracus over dinner.
Without triggering him.
Make sure you don't.
Is that actually the object of the game?
Yeah. You just got to have a nice evening.
So you've got to try and order stuff that doesn't.
It's like a dating sim.
Okay.
With Mr. T, basically. Automatic game over if you order anchovies.
Automatic game over if you try to get him on a plane.
Yep.
Got to get him the Novocaine.
Maybe you Novocaine him at the end.
So is it like a point and click, or is it a...
No.
Are you thinking like Leisure Suit Larry?
No. It's entirely text-based, so it's run in DOS.
Okay.
So yeah, you just download it. It's like maybe, I don't know, like 40 kilobytes. And yeah, that's it.
So you can purchase this on a floppy disk from the TIS website.
18.exe.
Yeah. Absolutely can. Yeah, it'll be a series of those, you know, those really big ones.
Yeah,
Big floppies. You get like a pack of 5 for different restaurants. And
nice.
Yeah, My Dinner with Baracus.
Okay. I love it.
The text-based dating sim.
Really into that music. I've been playing a lot of Tetris lately, so that's... yeah, I like it.
You realize video games have progressed since like 1986.
I think they've regressed, Jez. Okay. Peaked as Tetris.
I think
the perfect game.
Man of fine taste. I'm all in.
Yeah?
I love it. That's actually really
good. Can you actually make that?
Were there any licensed video games in the 80s? Probably, surely.
Were there what?
Any licensed 18 video games in the 80s?
Oh, they're definitely... I reckon there would have been
on
an
Atari
one
or something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. I would think so.
Surely there's an 18 pinball machine out there.
Oh, yeah.
Mm. Okay, Morgan, third.
So, I am going to reboot mine completely, which is what we normally do, we reboot completely. So, mine is a...
Except Jez.
Unless you make
Mine's like a reality drama show, reality sort of dramatization. So, it's basically... So, it's the A-Team again, but this time around, it's led by Hannibal. And what he does, he goes to restaurants. It's similar to Gordon Ramsay's Kitchen Nightmares.
Kitchen Nightmares, yeah.
Yeah, so he goes to restaurants, like, you know, inspects them, sees how they run and tries to improve them. But what he does, he then gets the A-Team in after he's sort of improved set his improvements in, he then gets the A-Team to come in and create the ultimate disaster. So, like, hostage situations and just to really just mess with the place so they always fail. It's called Hannibal's Kitchen. So it's always... So Hannibal will be played by Jerry Stiller, will be Hannibal.
Nice.
So he'll come in and just be super aggressive and psycho the whole time.
Jerry Stiller. It's not... Okay.
Yeah. I mean, this is like probably like mid-Seinfeld Jerry Stiller age.
Yep.
And then his face man will be Paul Rudd. So they'll always have disguises. Murdoch, you need something crazy. So I've got Manzoukas to do Murdoch. And for Baracus, it's very hard to go past Terry Crews. So basically, you get those guys in some sort of capacity just to, like, I don't know, turn the gas right up and the plate blows up or plow like a van through the front or fly a plane in.
Yep. So maybe it's like, it starts off as a serious sort of Gordon Ramsay Kitchen Nightmare type thing. And they come in as the crew to try and do the renovations or whatever.
Yeah.
Rather than just coming in.
Well, that's the thing. It can always be something a little bit different. It'll sort of starts out like that and then cuts away to like Manzoukas, Rudd and Cruz just planning to do something to the place. Like in the middle of the night, they'll come in and just, move the kitchen to do something. Just take all the equipment out of the kitchen.
And what, the restaurant's meant to try and survive it?
Yeah, pretty much.
That's a
challenge. So, yeah.
Okay.
Gordon Ramsay losing his mind.
Yeah. And just Jerry Stiller the whole time. Like you're just in real psycho Frank Costanza mode. So, yeah, that's Hannibal's Kitchen.
Hannibal's Kitchen.
Nice.
I'm in.
I like it.
All right. For my reboot, I thought I'd bring it close to home, back to our home country, and reboot it as the A-Team, but the A is for Australia.
Oh, bloody oath.
So, after serving together in Gallipoli, It's just a group of four Aussie blokes roaming the countryside helping out Aussie battlers.
In what, like the 20s?
Yeah.
Okay. I was going to say, it can't be now.
No, they're all 110 years old.
If you were to do it now, I'd say Bud Tingwell would be your first person.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, Australians were in other wars.
I know, but, you know.
Just wanted to me.
Yeah. So I've just mostly gone a simple recast for Hannibal. He's now called Ned.
Yeah.
Paul Hogan.
Yep.
Hoax.
The face man is Chris Hemsworth.
Yeah, good choice.
Yeah.
And
he's got a face.
Mad as a cut snake Murdoch is Mel Gibson.
Okay.
And for Baracus is Jay LaGaia.
Okay. He's from New Zealand.
Arguably I know. Not Australian.
I know, but...
But he could... He's
to be honest, I didn't know the names of any Aboriginal actors.
Oh. Ernie Dingo.
I was going to say Ernie Dingo.
I'm not casting Ernie Dingo as B.A. Baracus. Yes, I will not go there.
Why not? It'd be hilarious. Ernie Dingo.
What about...
great in Crocodile Dundee. That's David Gallulpil. Sorry. I think I said his name right.
So I reckon the first episode, there's like a ranger that's gone missing in Kakadu National Park.
Spot on.
And it's just Jay LaGaia wrestling a crocodile for like 40 minutes.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the episode.
Yeah.
And then it's got to end somehow.
And then Chris Hemsworth fosters to Paul Hogan. And just gives a maniacal laugh.
One casting tweak I sort of have is maybe you could put Rusty in as Murdoch.
Who?
Rusty.
Oh, yeah.
Mm.
Known to go crazy.
Is he crazier than Mel Gibson, though?
Yeah, he beat like someone up at a hotel concierge up with a phone. So,
well, Mel Gibson's done some shit.
Mel Gibson has done some shit.
No, I think I'd rather Crow.
Because I reckon they can both play.
I reckon you could go Gibson as Hannibal.
You reckon?
I think he's more of an action star.
I reckon Hogan suits Hannibal.
Hogan's is like 90 now.
78. Okay. I was looking at this the other day.
Yeah.
I saw there's like some ad, new tourism ad for Australia, and it's like some
obviously
fake,
you get Paul Hogan.
Yeah, it's a fake reboot of Crocodile Dundee, and they have just like every Australian.
Oh, is that with Danny McBride?
It's fake. I thought it was real. I'm like this.
I thought
this
it was
could
real
be hilarious.
As well.
And then it's all fake.
It's for
a Super Bowl ad.
Oh, I see.
It's Australian tourism ad for Super Bowl.
I prefer your one compared to fake Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, good
reboot.
I like that. The Australia team.
The A team.
You
just gotta throw it on the A. The A team.
Alright, well that probably does us for reboots. Let's jump into the IMDb list of the week or the month or the episode, whatever we like to call it.
I feel like this could be a fruitful show for lists.
I feel like
I'm really excited for this one actually.
Okay.
The list name is Game of Thrones Recast 80s and 90s.
Ooh.
So someone has recast 100 characters from Game of Thrones.
That's so good.
Using actors who were big in the 80s and the 90s.
That is the best list ever. I love it.
Kicking off with Harrison Ford as Eddard Stark, Michelle Pfeiffer as Daenerys, Glenn Close as Cersei.
Ooh, that's a good one.
That's good.
But I'll pick out some of my favorites. They got John Candy in there.
Varys?
Yes.
Okay.
Here we go. Brilliant.
Charles Bronson.
Ed Stark.
Bron?
That was
Charles Bronson's Bron.
Yes.
What?
Scott, I'm killing Scott's this. Scott's up 2-0 in this quiz.
Jesus Christ. That's actually good casting.
Hey, Bron, Bron, who's Bron again?
Like Tyrion's
knight.
The sellsword.
We got David Hasselhoff.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Jamie?
No. Someone else for Jamie.
Okay.
Val Kilmer is playing Jamie.
That's good.
I like that. Yeah, that's good.
The Hoff is Euron Greyjoy.
Young Hoff.
We've got
I don't know if he's like menacing enough.
Yeah,
he's too jolly.
Another TIS favorite, Dustin Diamond.
Oh no! Hang on. All right, we can do this.
Yeah, he's
he's not Theon.
He's not Theon. No. He's Podrick.
Oh my god, like that's a bad casting choice.
That's garbage.
Dustin
Pod's likable.
Yeah,
and a good duo, Andre the Giant and Danny Trejo.
That's
the mountain and the hound.
Yes.
Terrible because Danny Trejo is like 5'8". He is really small. He's a really little dude. He just looks big.
Andre the Giant, you can get on board
Danny
with.
Was Danny Trejo even big in the 80s?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't even big in the 90s. He was in like one movie.
Yeah.
He's gotten big like in the last
but
10
he's got,
years.
He's got an 80s feel about him.
He does.
Yeah.
You could do better than that.
But we've got from the A-team, it's Mr. T as Zaro Zohan Daxos, one of the merchant princes of Karth.
Okay. Is Arnie in there anywhere?
Who would you
even... Arnie is not.
I can't think about who you would get.
Dothraki?
Molly Ringwald, the Sansa?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good.
Christian Slater as Robb Stark?
Yes.
Yeah, that's good. That's really good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Edward Furlong as Bran?
Yeah, okay.
Ooh,
okay.
Ooh, yeah, okay.
Yeah, Anthony right. Michael Slater Hall is Theon.
Who?
Anthony Michael Hall
is Theon. I definitely would put him in some sort of role, but not as that one.
Yeah, right.
John Goodman, Robert Baratheon.
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah, that's good.
Michael Caine as Davos.
Yeah, love it. I'm sorry. All I can think about is now that we've cast Michael Caine as Davos, is she was just 16 years old.
Only 16.
Oh, my God. I'm going to have more of a look at this list later.
We got to get away from this list. We could be here for hours.
Wow.
Alrighty. Well, look, final thoughts on the A-Team. Jerome.
Yeah. The first episode was actually pretty enjoyable. It did drag on, like Aaron said, but yeah. I'd if it comes on TV, I'd probably see out an episode. I feel like most of the episodes would be self-contained and pretty fun.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, no, fair enough. Aaron?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan. That first episode killed me. Yeah. I really thought the first 40 minutes could have been condensed into about 10, and
there was
about 20 minutes of too much car chase with smoke bombs going off instead of grenades.
And Jeeps flipping.
Yeah. It's some blood. There was blood.
There was about 16 minutes of Jeep flips.
You want to see blood?
Mm. I want to see blood.
Fair enough. Watch Game of Thrones. Scott, final thoughts?
Yeah, not the biggest fan. Maybe if it came on TV, I'd
like to meet I'd the watch biggest it for a little bit. The A-Team.
Me too.
Yeah.
Be like
the
an
biggest?
Old,
like,
the biggest.
Yeah, okay.
Be an old dude. Old fat white dude with a Mr. T haircut.
And smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
Just be blending all the tropes
all
together.
All the characters into one.
Yeah. Wearing like...
Except for Face.
Except for Face.
Driving around in a van.
And then you have Murdoch's just got a leather jacket.
He's just got a gut shot wound.
Yeah. He just walks around that constantly.
Yeah. Not the biggest fan. It was very fun.
I'm glad we watched it.
To do for this. Yeah. But I can't imagine watching it.
It's quite dated. And that I found that last episode just completely insane. Completely insane.
Clearly run out of ideas.
Yeah. And it was just so like, I've never been so hyper aware of a show on a TV set in my life than I was in watching that episode. So, I had a bit of fun with that first episode. Last episode was garbage. But it's good to see where some of these like real stereotypes have come from. So see the foundation of that.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll probably just wrap it up there. Where can people find us on social media, Scott?
You can check us out on Facebook and Instagram. We're just The Incomplete Series there. Or you can jump onto Twitter at @PodcastTIS. You can drop us a comment, tweet at us. Can you tag in like Instagram?
You can tag it. Tag us in Instagram. Hashtag is a suggestion.
Hashtag I get on no plane.
Or even better, go to our website. Drop us a suggestion.
TheIncompleteSeries.com. Please send through suggestions. Send through your reboots. Love to see some reboots.
Love a good reboot.
I'm just clearly garbage.
Hey, at least it got made though.
It did get made.
It's the only reboot on this show that has been made
so far.
After 28 episodes, we finally had that one got made.
TIS production. Yeah.
Also, if you could jump onto iTunes and give us a rate and review, they do go a long way to getting us out there further.
Mm-hmm.
All right, well, we'll probably leave it there. So thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thanks, Mox.
And thank you, Scott.
Thank you.